This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we are back with another episode of the Brother and Sister Rewatch. I am Kevin here alongside my sister and co-pilot Mary. How are you doing?
What's up, everybody?
And Mare Bear, we are here at a very interesting point in our journey, rewatch, our initial rewatch, as we're doing The Office, and right now we're doing Season 4, Episodes 13 and 14, and that's the season finale is 14.
Yes.
So we're closing out another season of the show.
We are. This was a short season.
And I wish they were all like this, but they are not to be.
Oh, stop.
No, it's just like it flies by and you feel like you accomplished more.
Yeah.
You're like, oh man, we fucking killed that quick.
Yeah, get ready.
That's how good we are.
The next few seasons are all 20, like, 28
plus. Yeah, it's rough. But before we jump into what we're going to talk about this week, why don't you go back and tell us... You didn't do it. I didn't remind you. You're not ready,
are
you?
No, I do. I have them right here.
All right. We're going to just tell everybody what we did last week.
Sure. So last week, we reviewed episodes 11, Night Out, and 12. Did I stutter? So episode 11, we saw Michael and Dwight go out to New York City to party with Ryan because Michael's... still broken up about his breakup with Jan. Ryan essentially has a coke habit.
And he has a little friend.
Yeah, a little friend, Troy, that's a financial wizard.
And a real-life hobbit.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Meanwhile, back at the office folk get locked into the business park.
Yeah.
And we find out that Toby not only is a grope fiend.
Grope fiend.
A grope fiend. Groping up knees on Pam Beasley.
Oh, wow.
But he's also decided that he's moving to Costa Rica.
Yes. Impulse.
Impulse move. And then he jumps a fence and leaves. That's really...
That's the gist of that
yeah.
one.
Yeah. Dwight makes out with an Amazon woman.
Yeah, then we posted that on Twitter.
Yeah,
eat some face!
Ew. So then in Did I Stutter, it basically is Stanley openly being insubordinate and yelling, "Did I stutter?" at Michael, resulting in Michael having to, you know, own up to the fact that not everybody respects him as a person, but they have to in the office. But, you know, obviously pettiness ensues with Michael calling Pam ugly because of her glasses and just a bunch of stuff like that. And it was a funny episode.
They were both okay.
Yeah,
like they weren't classics, but they were solid. We liked them.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, and that brings us to this week where we are doing season 4, episode 13, Job Fair. And, I mean, is there any more preamble that we have to get through?
No, I think that pretty much opens us up.
All right, go for it.
All right, guys. So we start off this episode, the cold open of Michael walking out of his office and going to Pam and Oscar like, you guys ready? Let's do this. Michael's wearing jeans, a polo shirt, and like a casual jacket.
Is he wearing
and
Vans? Yeah, Vans.
Yeah, he's got like skateboard shoes.
He
on.
Looks like a dad who's trying to be cool. Like
so
like
hard.
how I imagine Bill Simmons dresses.
Who's Bill
Simmons? He's like a sports writer, podcast guy.
Oh, okay.
But he's like... He's like
he's 40 trying
he's
to be
trying
25.
To cling to his youth like yo I'm gonna use pop culture references like I'm a kind of an asshole.
Ugh.
And like he's the kind of guy who would wear like the zip-up hoodie with like the you know skinny
you know
jeans
what? I mean I'm almost 30 and I still like to rock that attire. It's
different.
Comfortable.
It's different when you're 45. Totally different.
Yeah, but if that's your style, that's your style.
Is that Michael's style? Or is he trying to appeal
no,
to
you? No, that's not Michael's style, but I mean this podcast.
Oh, no, no. He's just trying to cling to youth. He's a dad now, and he's like, yo, I'm still like the sports guy. It's, no, you're a loser. You're Bill Simmons.
Wow.
I don't like Bill Simmons. I'm sorry.
No, we couldn't tell, Kev.
No, he's just annoying because like he used to write these columns that were like 5,000 words long about the 2011 Celtics and shit. Like nobody wants to hear about, you know, I can't remember the fucking guy's name. Rasheed Wallace. Nobody wants to hear about that shit. I don't know.
All right. Well, anyway, so Michael's dressed down is essentially what we're
getting
at.
Yeah, he's dressed down, yeah.
And so we find out that they're going to a job fair at Valley View High School.
Legitimate.
It's actually like 15 seconds away from where...
Oh. Yeah, from where we live.
Yeah, we didn't go to Valley View, but we're in the vicinity. That's a legit high school, though, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking for interns for the summer, and he's going with Oscar, Pam, and Daryl.
He says he wants to euthanize the office.
Yes. So then Daryl walks up and he's wearing like a dress shirt and a tie and dress pants and he looks really nice. And Kelly runs up and says, "You look like Barack Obama." Furthest thing from the truth, but okay.
I was going to say the size disparity.
Yeah. And the fact that Daryl has a fro.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that too.
Much more hair.
But Michael is kind of like making fun of him. Like, why are you dressed up like that? Mm. And he's like, well, Michael, why are you dressed up like that? And Pam is just like, I think you look nice. And did you notice that Michael and Daryl both said thank you?
Oh, yeah.
So Michael thought she was actually complimenting him. Nat. So Michael explains that he's going to promote sales and management. Oscar will handle the accounting. Pam will be eye candy, but then he jokes and says, no, it's her alma mater. And then Daryl, well, he'll be hiring a few kids for the warehouse because those kids ain't going to college. And Daryl goes, Mike, where'd you go to college? And Michael just changes the subject and says, let's go! So that's our cold open for us.
Solid.
And, yeah, pretty solid. Cold open lays out the episode pretty well. Mm-hmm. So now we find Jim at a golf course, and he is going golfing with the client because Ryan put him on probation. So being that he has some
big plans
with Pam that he wants her parents to be pretty pumped about, he's actually going to try at the job, yeah, essentially, because he doesn't want to lose his job right now. Mm-hmm. We find out that he's going with Andy and Kevin as well. And Andy walks up and they meet the client who's, what do you call that?
Just golfing? Hitting.
No, he's like practicing.
Yeah, practicing.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
I thought there was a word for him.
Well, he's at the driving range.
Driving range. Yeah. That's the one. Sorry, guys. Golf is the opposite of my game. But so he goes up to meet him and Andy goes, my grandfather would spin in his urn if he knew I was golfing with a Dartmouth boy.
That Ivy League rivalry, you know? Dartmouth versus Cornell.
I guess. But then we find out that Andy practiced the night before. So he doesn't shake the hand of the client because he has blisters all over his disgusting hands from hitting 1,200 balls.
It's gross.
Those things are gross. And he calls them blisties, which is just weird. So then the client, I think his name is Jim?
Oh, I forget. No, it's not Jim. Fuck, I forget.
John,
I had it.
Yeah, something. Tom. We'll call him Tom for now. But the client's like, oh, do you guys want to gamble like 10 bucks a hole? And Kevin's gambling addiction comes out in full force. Mm-hmm. He's like, so what are we doing here? Skins? Bingo, bango, bongo, Sandy's, what do any of those things mean anything?
I've played bingo, bango, bongo before.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I had no idea that was a real thing. I thought
that's real. No, that's a golf game, yeah.
All right, then. So, Kevin says he's going to take the petty cash that he got and turn it into next month's rent.
Yeah, and he holds up like this wad of 20s.
So now we go, and we are at the Valley View High School Gymnasium for the job fair.
Go Cougars.
Ew. that's
the
one.
That's a cougar noise.
That's the one. So, we see the job fair. Yeah, there's tons of booths. Yeah. Did you notice Pinstar in the back?
Pinstar, Lamar Advertising was there. And there was, Electric City Magazine was there as well.
Tons. Local Pinstar business. Pinstar is a very small.
Regional.
It was. It's not.
Oh, that's right. It doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. No way. Are we sure about that?
Yes.
Okay.
NBC bought them, yeah.
Oh, okay. There you go, guys.
But they were a very small bank, I think, in like northern Pennsylvania and New York. And that was it. But, so Dunder Mifflin's booth has the four characters there, and then a small white sign that says Dunder Mifflin on the back curtain.
They have no gimmicks.
There's no poster boards, nothing.
No materials to hand out, like brochures or anything. Yeah. They're just sitting at an empty table with one scrap of paper.
Yes, a cardstock. It is a thick cardstock. Yes. But, that was it. And so we go back golfing. Andy's terrible is what we essentially find out.
Yeah, he's pumping Jergens into a glove.
And it looks like one of those exfoliating gloves, which makes even less sense because it would just hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But, and he like slices it into the woods or something. But now we go to the office and we're finding out that nobody really wants to work because Michael, Jim, Andy, like nobody is there. Yeah. And Creed says, yeah, man, I finished my work months ago. Dwight says that when Michael, Jim, and Andy are not there, that he is in charge. Stanley literally just walks up.
Walks right by him.
Walks out and leaves. So now we're back at the job fair, and Pam is talking to this kid named Justin. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, you'll find out how an office works. Michael is, like, behind her looking like...
cut it off. Stop it. Kill it.
I don't want this kid. Fucking end it.
He looks like a nerd.
Yeah, but he acts like a total asshole. Because he's like, I'm sure, you know, we want the best and brightest, Pam. And he turns around. The kid could hear him the whole time. The kid's just, like, rolling his eyes. And he's like, listen, I'm sure... You have a lot of options. You can be a classy janitor, a cashier with dignity. What the fuck? Or a migraine worker.
A migraine worker. That one, I wrote that one down. That one's awesome.
And that paper should just be a hobby for him. So the kid, like, walks away. He's like, all right. What? Like, the kid's just, like, upset now. So he walks away. And he goes, oh, my God. And he signed the paper. This was supposed to be a blank canvas on which they put their hopes and dreams.
I don't know why Mike doesn't just turn it over.
Right. Exactly.
Just leave the other side up.
Yeah. And now he's like, all right, Pam, get the other sheet. And she goes, you specifically told me to bring one sheet. And she goes through this whole thing where he apparently sneezed in her tea and said, I'm not sick, it's allergies. She's like, you told me to bring one piece of paper. And he goes, go look for another one. And then he goes, this is why we need smart interns. Wow.
It was good. It was good.
So we go back and to the golf course, and Jim's trying to sell him. He's like, oh, where are you getting your paper from with the junk mail business? Dude totally shuts him down. I'm just trying to get out of the office.
Shot down hard.
Stop it. So now we go back to the office, Dunder Mifflin office, and Dwight goes to the bathroom, and we hear Angela's phone go off, and she doesn't answer Angela. She answers, like, extension 251, and you just hear Creed go, pumpkin, it's Creed. We're going to ditch this bitch. You in? And she's like, no. She hangs up, and he goes, pumpkin's out, gang.
and everybody walks.
I just love the fact that he calls her pumpkin. Because there is no love there at all.
Part of me thinks he doesn't know her name.
Yeah, probably.
So it's like, oh, I'll call her pumpkin.
We're going to ditch this bitch. So everybody leaves except for Dwight and Angela while Dwight's in the bathroom. He walks out, and it's just the two of them. Mm-hmm. So now Pam is in her old art room at Valley View High School. And I like this kind of like seemed a little pathetic to me. And she's
very
like,
pathetic.
She's like, oh, maybe it's still here. Like, no, bitch, they are not going to keep your damn art, like doodles, especially up on the high school wall like 7 years.
I was going to say, she's like 28. It's been like 10 years. Get over it.
Yeah.
Like, you're not fucking Picasso.
I mean, like, we'll even give her like to 25. It's been 7 years at least.
Yeah.
Like,
yo, everybody, you want to be like Pam Beasley? Look at that art up there. You want to be like that. You want to draw an orange like
what
Pam Beasley.
Fuck? Like that, that's the one thing like that caught my, I was like, this is pathetic.
Knowing Pam Beasley is a cougar and not in the sense that most people would prefer. Yeah. Knowing that she's a Valley View girl explains a lot more about her. Just saying. Just saying about the Valley. You know, the Valley is a real deal here.
Yeah, that is true. But anyway, so Dwight... We see Michael get a phone call from Dwight, and he's basically just tattling on
everybody. He's a snitch.
And Michael's like, I don't care. Like, Jim's not there. I'm not there. It doesn't matter. Let them. Why do they have to be there?
Mm-hmm.
Dwight legitimately, he's just like, so what else is going on?
Yeah, he's such a bitch.
Yeah, and Michael just like hangs up on him. And Dwight takes this piece of paper to look at it.
He looks like he's blind,
he's like
too.
He's going to cry.
It's like
well,
2 inches
I think he's like trying to cover his face from Angela seeing that he's about to fucking cry.
So hard.
So Pam gives Michael a sheet of paper. And he's upset that it's not Dunder Mifflin paper.
Yeah.
And he sends Pam back to the office for a specific type of cardstock.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, Scranton, no, maybe.
She says it's 20 miles round trip later, so that's 10
to. She has to go through the towns at that point.
Yeah,
or
probably.
Do you think on
no,
the
No, she probably
route
took
six.
Route 6. Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm trying to... Yeah, because the high school's in Archbold, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Archbold is about 10 miles outside of Scranton.
Yeah,
it's a little suburb,
say.
So
that's,
yeah.
That's about right, then.
Thank you, Google Maps.
Yeah, right? So, she goes back to the office. Now, this is such a weird scene. Maybe it's because I've only played golf, like, twice in my life.
Yeah.
But the client can't get out of the friggin' sand trap.
It's difficult for some people,
and
especially people
Jim,
with pride, like our father.
Yeah. Well, Jim goes... Do you want to just take the triple bogey? What is it? Is that
triple
three
bogey,
over par?
Three over par, yeah.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense, because I'm like, how far up do these like, oh, you could go.
we, me and my brothers, when we go.
Your brothers?
Yeah. Our brothers. When we go, Oz, who co-hosted the show the one week,
yeah.
He always has, like, this one hole where he's a very good golfer, but he always implodes around me and our other brother because it's like psychological warfare out on the links.
Mm-hmm.
And he always gets, we call it at least an angry snowman. He'll get an 8 and we'll turn it into an angry snowman on his scorecard. We're like, oh, Oz got his angry snowman. Like, he has one hole where he always just implodes. He's hitting trees.
And that's the psychological warfare is that they make. They draw the angry snowman to make him get another
that's
one.
That's just the sentence. That's like the period at the end of the sentence. Like, look what you fucking did.
Oh my God.
Asshole.
You're so mean.
Golf in our like family is kind of a big deal. Like, because I grew up as a kid. I don't know if you remember, our father used to go with his buddies, mm-hmm. and I was like the caddy.
Oh God!
And like shit used to hit the fan. Like I learned words.
I believe it.
I learned words that like I still might have only heard two other times in my life when I'd go. And you know, our brothers and me, we like grew up playing it. Like our one cousin, he quit on the 8th hole of a course one time. He took off his shoes. He walked in his socks. Back to his car. He said, I'll meet you at the car when you're done. He just left all of his shit on the golf course.
Yeah.
Which I think we still have. We're like, well, if you don't want it, if you quit the game. I don't think he's ever played since. That was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
He just fucking quit.
I'm pretty sure that was Oz's first set of clubs.
It was. We gave it to him. And like, you know, fuck that guy.
Right.
So, anyway, I'm sorry. I'm getting off track.
It's okay. But the client can't get out of the sand trap. And he's like refusing to take this triple bogey.
Got a lot of pride.
And then we see Pam walk into the office. Dwight and Angela just staring at her. She walks over to the copier, grabs a piece of paper, shows it to the camera, and walks out. And Dwight and Angela are like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they don't know what's up.
Okay. So now Pam is on her way back to the job fair, and she calls Jim to check in. She's like, I just drove 20 miles round trip to get a piece of paper for Michael. And Jim's kind of just like, it's going okay. Trying to sell here.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of like, but he's just like, I like you so much.
Oh, yeah.
It was a cute little moment. And then when he gets off the line, I think it's almost like he's reinvigorated.
Yeah, as he gets to his that purpose. Rush. Yeah, he gets a rush.
And he tries to sell to the client again, and he gets shut down again. Then Andy crashes the golf cart into the sand trap.
Yeah, he says, oh, we're going to race you to the next hole. And he gets in. And this is actually funny because it's actually a stupid scene in the show.
Yeah.
Because, like, he comes across really dumb.
Yeah.
Like usual. But, like, there's a real thing because I was just talking about us and our brother.
Yeah.
So the one time we were golfing. And Oz was really young. He was probably like 15. He shouldn't have been behind the wheel of a golf cart. And we were at this one course and we're around the green and... You know, we just finished the hole, and for whatever reason, our brother and Oz got in the cart, and like something happened where somebody put a club on the gas or something like that, or like the wheel was jerked. Like they were fucking around, and I don't know exactly what happened. All I know is that they ran into a tree, and the top of the golf cart almost came off. It was tilted 45 degrees, and basically, when we were done with our run, we drove it into the garage where they kept all the other cars, and like scurried out before anybody could see.
Oh my God!
We just left it there.
Jesus Christ.
But, like, when I saw, like, Andy crash the golf cart, I'm like, oh, shit. It wasn't a funny part on the show, but it reminded me of a funny part in my life.
Yeah. No, actually, a girl I used to hang out with in high school, her parents lived up in the country, and they had a golf cart to get around their land. Mm-hmm. They bought her a golf cart.
They're fun.
Yeah, they are. Until she tried to do a figure eight around a bush and toppled it over.
Were you on it?
Oh, I was on it.
So you ate shit?
Yeah. No, the worst part was that she did it, and then she, like, twisted it to the right, and I was all the way on the right. So it was her driving, a girl in the middle, me,
and then three people
in the back. Oh, wait. This thing was loaded with 6 people.
Are you sure it was a golf cart? Was it one of those mules or something?
No, it was a golf cart.
Holy shit.
And
it wiped out with 6
folks? It wiped out with 6 of us. Oh. I thought I broke my leg.
Oh my God.
Did not tell our parents about that because they wouldn't let me hang out at the compound
anymore. The compound. Fucking insane. Man.
But that's what it made me think of. I was like, oh my God, flashback.
Oh, Andy, thank you for that.
Right?
You suck, but that scene brought about memories.
So now Angela and Dwight are like just hanging out in the office. Just like there's quiet. A lot of flashbacks.
Yeah.
Like whiplash. Well, that's one thing in this episode. So there's 3 different places we're visiting.
I noted that actually, that there was like way too many jump cuts.
Yeah.
Like, I almost feel like after everybody left the office, maybe one Dwight and Angela scene would have sufficed. And they went back like three times.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I'm like, I feel like I don't even need to mention it, but at the same time, they did it for a reason.
Yeah, like just do the Dwight calling Michael scene.
Yeah.
And then, like, they could be leaving when Jim and the guys get back at the end.
Yeah.
Like something like that.
Yeah. But anyway, so then we see at the job fair, Daryl and Oscar are playing basketball, like an arcade basketball game at a different booth. And Michael gets pissed.
Yeah.
And he's realizing that essentially he's failed and nobody wants to come. Working, like, nobody wants to go to Dunder Mifflin.
Well, they don't even know what it is because he did such a shit job. And his outfit is not winning them over.
Exactly.
You know what his outfit reminded me of? Actually, now that I think about it, people who, like, don't dress appropriately for things they're doing. Like, you know how Oscar and Daryl are dressed up? Like, wearing what they would wear at work, so to speak.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so if you don't watch ESPN, you're not a sports person. There's this thing going on now, like on sports shows and shit like that, where the presenters will be wearing a suit, but they wear sneakers.
Ugh.
And it's the most, like, what are you, fucking eight? Ugh. Like, that is the dumbest thing I ever saw. Like,
yeah, just wear a polo and Dockers, dude.
No, well, I mean, I understand wearing a suit. Wear dress shoes.
Yeah.
And, like, because I'll be at the gym and I'm, like, looking up at the TV or something like that, and it's like, this guy wearing this resplendent three-piece pinstripe suit, and then he's got, like, fucking New Balances on. Like, what the fuck are you doing? It's a stupid, like, thing that's happening with fashion.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a maven of fashion. I'm not a czar of fashion by any means, like, at all. But, like, if you're going to dress, dress.
Yeah.
Don't half-ass it like that and be like, oh,
no,
I'm the cool kid.
I agree with that. Like, if you're going to do something, go all the way.
Yeah,
don't,
like, you look
don't
like,
bitch out.
You look like a kid on a poster. Like,
yeah,
you know,
that's,
like,
I'm sorry, but, like, let's put it this way. Sneakers with a suit wasn't even acceptable in the 80s. Okay?
Only like, Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
Like, Huey Lewis could do that.
But that wasn't even acceptable back then. So if it wasn't acceptable in the 80s, it's not now. So just stop.
Thank you. Sorry for this diatribe.
It's a lot of tangents.
Fuck you, Dan Orlovsky. I see you doing it every time on ESPN. I'm sorry.
But anyway, so Michael gets pissed. Walks over to the basketball booth and kicks the basketball across the gym.
He punts it.
Yeah, he
like,
punts
like
it.
Like the man punted back.
Yeah.
He just punts
oh, my God.
Right over, like, all the curtains and everything. It's
so
awesome.
Then he goes to hunt down Justin to bring him back to Dunder Mifflin and to get him to be the internship.
Mm-hmm.
Or the intern. And he explains that he's, like, the ugly girl in the movie. And she's hot, like, once she takes her glasses off. But you're the blind one, because she's always been hot.
And then it's just the most desperate thing he may have
ever said. He's the most important thing in my life right now.
And the look in his eyes, like, I need this kid.
Yeah.
To, like,
creepy.
To validate himself. Like,
yeah.
You know?
So, then
he brings him over to the booth,
and he's like, I want you to meet my family. This is Daryl Philbin. This is Oscar Martinez. And then he says,
this is the line of the episode, by the way.
This is Pam, the office hottie. She will sleep with you. Well, she's already dated two guys in the office. Maybe you could be number three. And Pam gets upset and she's like, excuse me. And she walks away.
She's all embarrassed.
Yeah. And God damn it, Michael.
This is seriously one of my favorite lines in the series.
Listen, I would never say this to her face. She's a wonderful person and a gifted artist. And Oscar, she's like, why would you never say that to her?
Yeah, why wouldn't you say that to her face?
Why?
And Michael ignores him and just, like, tries recruiting the kid.
Oh, my God.
It's so awesome.
I would never say this to her face, but she's a wonderful person and a gifted
artist.
He's
never said anything that nice about anybody.
Never.
It's so great.
And Justin is just, like, so uncomfortable. And he's like, you were a jerk to me before. And he just leaves. Like, he's just like, I don't want to go there. Dude, like, leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to the golf course. And now the game is over. They're all just sitting at the club.
They're eating.
Yeah. And Andy can't pick up his beer.
Which is kind of funny.
Because his blisters hurt him so badly. And we go back to the office, and Dwight sneezes, and Angela has the most delayed bless you I've ever seen of anybody.
Yeah, it's like three full seconds.
Yeah. So then we go back, and Andy is drinking his beer through a straw. And
I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that.
And the client is just glaring at him, like, with so much contempt.
Oh, yeah.
The client hates Andy.
He really does.
And Kevin, he cleans the fuck up, dude.
Yeah, Kevin's
going
over.
Yeah, he's like, all right, Jim, you owe me $120. And Tom, the client, whatever his name is, you owe me $230. And the client's like, we'll open up a tab. I'm definitely going to be playing with you again. And Andy's like, oh, yeah, we'll definitely play. He goes, no, not you.
Yeah, he just shuts that shit down.
My God. And Jim's like, listen, man, I got to try it again. You can't blame me for trying. Gets shut down again. He's like, my fiscal year's over in 2 months.
Yeah, check in.
Talk to me then.
Yeah.
So now Jim actually has a stroke of genius.
He nuts up.
As he starts talking about how, you know, it was really difficult to watch a man
take six shots to get out of a hole.
Yeah, to get out of a sand trap.
Yeah.
And that perseverance is blah, blah, blah. And he goes, at least that's what I told him when I blocked his car for 15 minutes.
Yeah, we see roll of Jim blocking the car and
literally
having the guy roll down his window, and he sells him.
Yeah, he does. And he gets the business.
He gets the sale, yeah.
And Jim says, you know, I'm going to be his paper supply man now. I shot a 102, feeling good today.
I'd feel okay with a 102.
Hey, on an 8, no, on 18 holes?
Yeah, I'd feel okay with a 102. Let's say it's like 72.
Yeah.
A 72 par or something like that. I'd feel okay with 102.
Then maybe I've
only I'm not good. That's why I'd feel
maybe
good.
Maybe I shot 8 or 9 holes instead of 18.
Did you hit 72
on
9?
79.
Yeah, you did not hit it. You did not play 18 holes. Unless you're talking mini golf. Like, I don't know what the hell you're talking
about. I've only gone twice. So.
Were you there the time our father came down the tractor?
Yep, oh, I was there.
What a fucking epic moment in
that
history
was amazing.
That was.
But I think all of us were there.
So a 79 you got, huh?
Yeah,
that's nine. That's like Jim's 102, kind
of. Yeah. Okay, well, no, because that's what I was confused. I was like, wait, did I shoot better than him?
No.
In this fictional game?
No. So, okay,
then
100 is like, for guys like me who are like, go out a few times a year, novice golfers, like 100 is kind of like, oh man, if I can get to 100, I'll be happy.
Oh.
Because like, if par is 72, you're not going to shoot par, especially at a nicer, longer course or anything okay. like that. Like when we went this summer, our brother who's getting married, he bought us all around down at the one place on the beach. And, like, I got, like, a 92, and I was excited. I was, like, excited. I came back. I had 5 beers. I was geeked, man.
All right. So. Well, then that makes sense.
Yes.
All right, then. Because I was like, I shot, like, a 79. I know I was in the 70s, and I know that wasn't great.
So, if you shot 80 on 9 hole, that's, wow. You had a few angry snowmen.
Yeah, I had a few angry snowmen. It was only the first, that was the first time I ever went.
I'm proud that you actually went and, like, stayed
for it.
You didn't give up on the 8th hole.
I tried.
Proud of you.
Yeah, I don't have that type of temperament.
Shots fired.
So, anyway, we go back to the job fair, and there's an announcement that it's going to be closing in 5 minutes, and that 8th period will commence.
I hated 8th period.
Dude.
It's my least favorite period.
Holy shit. I have not heard the words 8th period in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Long time.
Same here. And it, like, as soon as she said it, I filled with like this dread. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, that last fucking period before we can leave. Like, I remember music appreciation.
It dragged on so long.
Music appreciation or English. Or,
yeah, but music appreciation couldn't have been bad because it was down towards the parking lot.
Yeah, but we weren't allowed because this was post-Columbine world. We couldn't carry
book
bags and stuff like that. So I had to run back to the other side of the school. And it was.
Yeah, that's true.
It was a bitch of a time.
Yeah.
But 8th period, existential dread. Just saying.
No, for sure. So we're assuming that this is around like 2 o'clock.
Yeah, 2-ish,
in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay. So then Michael, in you know, when he has his occasional or weekly break with reality, snaps and goes up to the stage to go to the microphone. And he basically starts trashing all of the other booths. Mm. And he's like, H&R Block? I don't even know what they do. the Frank Reagan's funeral home? Too much formaldehyde.
And then the guy who's running it, the funeral director.
Dude, the cheekbones on that guy.
That dude looks like
he looks
unwell.
Like he's full of formaldehyde.
He looks unwell.
Yeah. And then he goes, the Air Force, and like, you can see the guy just turn towards him and he goes, they're cool. They're cool. The refreshments? Bush League.
Yeah.
Which just made me think of Caddyshack.
Bush League? Bushwood?
Yes.
Yeah, Michael shits all over everything.
Yeah.
And he's like.
But he's like, come to Dunder Mifflin. We can't offer any college credit or pay you anything.
Yeah.
But it'll be a good time.
It's so sad and pathetic.
It is.
Like, it's not entertaining. It's just sad and pathetic. I mean,
awkward.
I guess it was bound to happen.
No, but I loved the look on, because they pan over to, like, the Dunder Mifflin table.
Oh, yeah.
And Pam is just like, what the fuck yeah, they're Michael. All,
yeah.
They're all so embarrassed for him.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody comes to Dunder Mifflin.
Nope. They failed.
Yep. So then we see it's 5 p.m. at the office. Magically.
Yeah, and because White and Angela.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I'm like, all right, so if 8th period is commencing, high school doesn't go until 5 o'clock.
Not around these parts.
No. So Dwight and Angela are leaving the office at 5 p.m. And that's why I was like, 2 p.m. is 8th period.
Yeah, it jumped.
What the fuck?
It jumped. Okay.
So, but then everybody else arrives back. So we see all 4 of the job fair folks pull up. And Jim, Kevin, and Andy are inside the office drinking beers.
You know what my favorite part about this is? Jim is holding Andy's beer for him.
I didn't notice that. Oh, my God.
It's pretty good. Andy can't do it.
That's amazing. So then Pam comes back, and she's like, beers? You closed it? And he's like, I closed it. She's pumped. She runs over. She hugs him. She kisses him. And then they realize.
They make out.
No, they realize, like, oh, we're being filmed.
Yeah.
And they, like, awkwardly shake hands. And Jim's like, nah, screw this. And they make out hard.
Yes.
And Andy and Kevin are like, bow chicka wah wah. Like, making, like, porno music noises in the background.
Which is nice.
It is refreshing. So now, Michael is explaining how, you know, Jim is a great guy, and if he chooses to work here just like him, then, you know, maybe it's not so bad after all. And as Jim is kissing Pam, Michael's standing behind them going, kiss her. Kiss her real good, Jim. Yeah, kiss her. Kiss her really good.
Really creepy.
Really creepy.
Yeah.
So now our closing scene is Pam at the job fair. She's kind of just meandering around, and she approaches his booth and asked to fill out an application for a graphic design company. And the guy starts going off about, like, well, you know, it's an entry-level position. We're obviously going to need you to know Photoshop, this, that, the other thing, a bunch of different systems.
That she doesn't know.
Well, and she says, she's like, oh, I don't know any of those. I don't have any training. And he's like, well, I'm sure there's some, and I'm sure these words killed her, adult learner classes around here. But if you're really serious about it, you should go to New York or Philadelphia. That's the best place to go.
That's where the action is.
Yeah, that's a quote. That's where the action is.
This guy looked like such a dick to me. You know what I mean? Like his greasy hair and his like librarian glasses.
Aww.
Hey, you know, I know about graphic designs. You want to make a t-shirt?
But you know what's funny though is actually I just finished watching The New Girl, the series, like a few weeks ago. And he's in there as Robbie. And he dated Jess, like the Zooey Deschanel character. But like,
that guy's like an actual actor?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But, so that's all I could think of was like, Robbie. But, and that's how we close out the episode.
Yeah.
Is Pam going, New York or Philadelphia? I'll look into that.
Mm-hmm.
Fin.
Okay. What?
I gave this a 4.0.
Okay.
I did laugh throughout. I thought it was funny. I thought it moved the story along really well. We actually saw Jim have ambition.
Yeah.
For once.
But it was for a negative reason. Is because Ryan's on his ass. Not because
no,
he wanted
not.
To.
It's because he doesn't want. Okay, so he doesn't want
he
to
He did
lose
mention
his
that.
Job.
That was the first thing he said.
Well, he says because Ryan put me on probation and I don't want to lose my job because I have some pretty big plans going on.
Mm-hmm.
So he did it because he wants to keep his job. So, yeah, he might have gotten slapped on the wrist. So, like, it kind of put the fear of God into him, but he's like, no, if I want to support, like, have my family, have my cake and eat it too, mm-hmm. I should probably try.
Or just look for another job.
Yeah, but then he can't work with his girlfriend.
Like a normal relationship.
Yeah.
But,
exactly.
So I gave it a low rating at first and I upgraded it as we were talking.
Wow.
But then I'm like, should I really? Because I feel like half this episode was just us bullshitting about other stuff.
No, you went off on a lot of tangents.
I'm sorry, golf gets me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay.
I don't think it was funny. Like, it was funny. It had its moments.
Yeah, no, it was
funny. It wasn't, like, consistently funny. It was okay.
I
thought it was, like, a replacement-level episode, like a mid-level, like, kind of middle of the road. It was fine. It had its moments. Like we said before, the Dwight Angela stuff, whatever.
Yeah, that's what I took off for, was the Dwight Angela stuff, because honestly, it was pretty fucking useless.
Yeah, and you know, like, I wrote a question here. Do you think Dwight stayed out of duty, or because it was Angela that was there?
No, I think, if anything, Angela stayed out of duty, or stayed because Dwight was there.
Really?
Because it wasn't even occurring to him that she would stay when he told everybody else, like, I'm like, I will write you up and you'll lose a personal day and blah, blah, blah.
You know what I mean?
Like, he was the one who took a stand for it first.
This is, like, really, I guess because, like, they did so little with it, like, it's still ambiguous at the end. It's just like, well, why were they there? And then, like, they didn't talk to each other the whole time and it was weird. And it's just like, well, what is the reasoning, you know?
That's what I mean. But like I said, Dwight kind of took his stand early, very early in the episode by telling everybody else, like, this is a work day. Like, we're here to work.
It was an okay episode.
I liked
it. The golf stuff was fun.
Yeah.
I think the big thing
is... Bingo, bango, bongo?
I think the big problem is that most of the episode is the job fair, and there's some of it that's just lacking.
I just felt a lot of whiplash, and I felt like it wouldn't have been as hard... if they didn't have to go back to the office four times.
I just feel like sometimes, like, a lot of episodes they put Michael in a situation like this where he has to be normal and, like, a human and try and, like, interact.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not that it's one note, but it's just, like, you know he's going to fuck it up. There's, like, no anticipation in a way for me at this point because we're finishing the fourth season now. And it's just kind of like, okay, so Michael's going to fuck it up. It's just a matter of how he does or how he kind of makes people feel weird.
Yeah, but you know at the same time, it's comedy.
Well, to some people. Okay. Like I said, one of the funniest lines in the show so far was the thing about Pam. That was a fucking home run.
I would never say it to her face.
Because of the delivery. The delivery was fucking amazing. And, like, the migraine worker, because, like, it's typically doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
I'm sorry, a cashier with dignity didn't get to.
And the cold open was good. So, like, it had its... The euthanize. It had its moments. Yeah. But just, like, I don't know. I feel like it got bogged down for some reason in the career day where I just wasn't, like, he's making... Like, he was a dick to Pam again. Like, where he sneezed in her tea and made her drive all the way back. And it's like, that's not funny.
Yeah, but she's also getting paid mileage. Ayo.
Is she?
Oh, I'm sure she is. It's a work day.
But, I mean, overall, like I said, it was a middle-of-the-road show. Nothing great, nothing bad. It was just like, okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like I said, the only thing I didn't, like, you know, love was the back and forth at the office.
Yeah, a little too
much. I don't think Angela and Dwight needed to be seen just sitting there as often as they did.
I think we're going to assume that since the cameras are there, they're not going to do anything.
Yeah, right.
I think that's a safe assumption. So, I mean, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, dude, that was it for this episode. How about you?
No, I'm good.
All right, well.
Oh, God.
Since we are done with our first episode of the episode.
okay, that's a good way of putting it, yeah. We're done with season 4, episode 13. Next we have episode 14, Goodbye Toby.
Yes.
Which is the also the season finale. So after we wrap up that episode, which is a banger and very long, it's a 42-minute ep, after we do that, we're going to close out the show with our Season 4 retrospective.
Yep.
And we're going to do that
right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placemination.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And welcome back to the halftime portion of the show. This is the portion of the show where we put ourselves over, as well as our partners at Place to Be Nation. And right now I'm going to tell you what's going on over at the PTBN Pop Feed. The Hard Traveling Fanboys continue Arrow Month, where they look back at the pilot episode from 2012. This Week in the NFL hits weekly as well, with Roger and Johnny recapping the last set of games and previewing the upcoming weekend's batch. Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother and Sister Rewatch podcast.
Fwah, fwah, fwah.
On the latest Diamond Conversations, Man of Steel Mike Verna discusses being an independent pro wrestler and an assistant baseball coach at Kingsborough Community College in Brooklyn, New York. On the newest weekly show, It Was a Thing on TV, hosts Mike Claus and Greg Diener present a focus on obscure and or misguided television content. In episode one, they take a look at Math Game / Hollywood Squares. They are joined by Chico Alexander on episode two to discuss one of the most hyped shows of 1983, Mr. Smith. On the latest Looking Forward, Looking Back, Andy is joined by Tim Capel, Jennifer Smith, and Scott Criscolo as they preview the upcoming winter and spring movie releases. On the PTPN Pop Special, The Skywalker Saga, A Proper Farewell, Star Wars Month wraps up as Scott Criscolo is joined by an awesome lineup of guests to discuss the legacy of the Star Wars franchise from the beginning up to the end of Episode 9.
I liked it.
I liked it. I just saw Episode 9. Spoilers, spoilers, perhaps spoilers. I'm not guaranteeing it, but I might say something. Spoilers. If you don't want to hear anything about the newest one, skip ahead. So, I liked it. There was something I thought was a good Star Wars Well, I thought it was a good movie. Yeah, I termed it entertaining crap. Because a lot of stuff didn't make sense in the Star Wars universe. There was stuff you like the use of the Force as like magic is and
yeah,
like even the genie and Aladdin couldn't bring people back to life. Right?
I just don't like doing it.
It's like that's one of the rules, man. I don't know. Yeah. So I like the use of the Force. The stuff with Leia is just weird. They should have killed her off screen. Like they had Palpatine come back off screen. Basically, you know what I mean? Like, Kylo knew where he was and everything like that.
Listen,
and it was in the crawl. In the crawl, there should have been, like, Leia was trying to get to Yavin 4 and was her blockade was destroyed or yeah. something.
But here's the thing, and I don't think they could have done that with Leia off screen.
Everybody knew she was dead.
No, because she was such an integral part of the entire saga that, okay, think about it this way. If they came back and were like, hey, Han Solo died in the last 20 years. Everybody would be like,
I think it
would have
been
bullshit.
Okay. No, I think it would have been okay because we didn't have Harrison Ford in that movie. Like, you know, like we hadn't seen him in years
okay,
anyway.
Okay,
and
I'm sorry.
The thing with the Carrie Fisher thing, I think a lot of people would have forgiven it too because she died in real life. They would have been like, oh, you know what? That, you guys get
yeah,
involved.
Oh,
in
yeah,
one.
No, this
you
should have
killed her when she was in.
They
should have killed her when she was in space, but.
Yeah. Well, let's just talk about the huge band-aid that is. Oh, Leia was totally trained in the Force.
Oh, yeah.
It was just all off. Like, never talked about
she
it.
She was
in the
a
last
Jedi Master for 35 years.
Nobody knew. Sake. That pissed me off more than
so,
anything.
Like, it was a fun movie. I was entertained. I liked
it. Absolutely.
But as a Star Wars movie, it kind of left me going, JJ, I don't know.
I don't think it was
because I'm saying like JJ does that nostalgia crap where hey
yeah.
the best part of being a Star Wars fan is liking Star Wars, you know, like that's the stuff that kind of burns me a bit. But I liked it overall. It's a middle of the road Star Wars movie. It's behind I think the original trilogy and Last Jedi.
Okay,
I like Last Jedi a lot, but I digress. Okay. So anyway, spoiler portion of the show is not over. On the Marvel Age podcast, the Sarcastic Four bring you part three and the year end wrap up of 1972. Also, be sure to check out PTBN Wrestling Feed, which includes a dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE through yesteryear. The feed includes the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Wrestling Warzone, Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jenny and the Gyms, Body Press Your Luck, and so much more. Subscribe today. And while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position feed as well, as it is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive, and Telling Stories, and more. On our social media pages, the Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament is now underway. We are in round two. There will be four matchups per day, so make sure to like our tournament page on Facebook or follow us on the Twitter. They didn't. I said
the Twitter.
Jesus so you won't miss Christ. A single one. I became
on
80.
The Twitter.
I just became 80. And we have officially kicked off our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. You will have all year to do research, promote matches, and build your list. Conversation and rules can be found at www.facebook.com/GWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. Be sure not to forget to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent SmackDown and Fox Report, This Week in WWE by Jon Crow, Pauly's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Weekly Walk Around the Web. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. And now, Mayor Bear, why don't you put us over?
Absolutely, dude. So, guys, we always like to keep it funky, fresh, and, you know, fun.
Fabricated.
Yeah. Over on our The Twitter feed. So you can always hit us up on our Twitter feed at Brosis Podcast, or if you're old school like me and didn't have a Twitter or don't have a Twitter, hit us up at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
Yeah, if you have anything, if you want, we asked for our spoiler stories last week.
Yeah.
We are kind of doing a quick return here in the booth to record. So if you still have those, send those in. If you want to tell us, you know, hey, that's Star Wars, you know, hey, it was all right. You know, if you want to tell me my take on Dinner Party is shit, which people continue.
Please do.
I continue to hear from my sister. You know, open up the mailbag. We'll read it on air. We'll respond to you. It'll be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Also, can we just talk about the Place to Be Nation polls?
Like,
It really is getting down to, like, and it's only, like, what you said, the second round. It's already getting hard.
What do we got?
Okay.
That's what she said.
The ones that I found that were difficult to choose between. Okay, the Partridge Family and the Facts of Life.
Partridge Family.
That's, I chose Facts of Life.
Oh, well, we disagree.
Take the good, is it close one? Bad? No, Facts of Life is 82%.
Oh, Christ, okay.
I'm
not a Facts of Life guy. I'm not a 2D guy.
Well, there weren't really any Blair. Strong male.
Well, it wasn't meant to be. It was a show about girls.
Well, that's what I mean. So I wouldn't see you
enjoying it. It can be funny.
Danny!
The Partridge Family had fucking Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Did. Oh, my
and,
God.
And what was the Kincaid? What was his name? The manager?
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, my God. Reuben Kincaid, the manager. God. I'm sorry.
Mr. Ed versus the Brady Bunch.
Mr. Ed's a no-brainer there. That's
but
Mr.
the
Ed.
Brady Bunch is so much, like, it's
it's accepted,
well
but, like, Mr. Ed is, like, comedy gold.
I agree with you, and I voted for Mr. Ed, but he is not winning.
Do you remember
so
when he tried out for the Dodgers? It was fucking amazing. Leo DeRocher's like, I want that horse. It was fucking
All in
awesome.
The Family versus the Beverly Hillbillies.
Beverly Hillbillies is actually has aged much better. All in the Families is a 70s show.
Yeah, it
and
is.
And it has not aged well, but I assume it's going to win because people think it's great.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And then The Odd Couple versus the Flintstones. Hey, Wilma, get me my lucky strike.
Yeah, my Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. I would go with, I'm actually, the Odd Couple, I think, is one of the greatest written sitcoms ever. I wouldn't be shocked if the Flintstones is winning.
It's winning.
The Odd Couple is a much better show, though. That shit I could still watch today. It's money.
Mary Tyler Moore versus Welcome Back, Cotter.
Oh, Cotter. But I know it. Oh, Cotter's so great. Who the time to leave you?
Welcome back, Coxer.
Oh, God.
And then Gilligan's Island versus the Jeffersons.
No,
it's getting hard already. It's only the second round.
The absurdity of Gilligan, I think.
Right.
I would take Gilligan's Island, actually. I think that has probably more rewatchability for me.
I think so.
But, I mean, Sherman Hemsley, fucking Mr. Jefferson.
Yeah.
He was great. Like, he was in Amen. Do you remember that show where he was like a preacher? No.
Huh.
Do you remember? There was the movie with Norm Macdonald, Screwed. And he was the bad guy, Chip. Just fucking hilarious. That was, I think Chappelle's in that one with him.
Oh, my God, probably.
It's like two legends.
But, I mean, like, I'm just saying it's already getting, like...
Oh, it's building up, yeah.
Oh, damn. Like, the first round, it was kind of like, all right. Like, that's an easy choice.
Well, yeah, the play-in rounds were, like, some
But now
shit.
It's like, ooh.
Yeah.
It's God damn.
We're getting to, like, all-time. And especially, like, one of the modern ones, because that's the old-school bracket.
Yeah.
But, like, when you get, like, the 2000s bracket... I hope Friends mates a horrible crash.
Fiery death.
Like, I hope Seinfeld or somebody like that wipes them out.
Same.
Anyway, I digress. And it is now time for us to jump into The Office, Season 4, Episode 14, Goodbye Toby.
Finale!
This is the finale. And, you know, let's just get to it. The cold open, Jim hooked Dwight's cell phone up to his Bluetooth earpiece.
Yep.
So, like, you know. Chaos ensues where Dwight's phone's going off and Jim is answering his customers and shit. And Pam calls to fuck with Dwight more and Jim answers it. pretends he's Dwight, and she's like, "Oh, Dwight, your voice sounds sexy." Of course, Dwight's like, "Pam, Pam, I'm over here. It's not me." So then Dwight reprograms his cell to go to his office phone, but Jim already did that. He already linked it up to his Bluetooth, and then he gets a call from Dwight's mom, where he does this mock German accent and says,
"Hello, Mutter.
Mutter, I have married. Tell Faja," and hangs up.
My God.
So then Dwight just smashes his cell phone.
Yeah, that seems the only thing that he can do.
So it was okay. It was a solid cold opening. You know, Jim's fucking with Dwight. I mean, I guess it never goes out of style.
Yeah.
So we open up the show proper. It's a sunny morning. Oh, bucolic. My God. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. The birds are chirping.
Dude, this might be one of my favorite openings.
It's so great.
Of the show.
It's like cinematic.
There's only one car in the parking lot.
It's a Michael talking head. And it's like showing this scene. And he's talking about how it's Toby's last day. And he's so excited he couldn't sleep. But it'll be a day he never forgets.
Well, you know the car in the parking lot is Michael.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's there bright and early because he's not letting this day go.
Yeah.
So he's dancing around the office.
He's literally dancing around the office.
So we go, and there's a party planning committee meeting. And
then Michael or Toby walks in.
Oh, Toby walks in, and Michael actually smiles and says, "Good morning, Toby."
Yeah.
It's the last time he'll see him.
He's like, "I'm going to set my alarm." He sets his
watch.
Yeah, my alarm watch.
He sets
to the last minute Toby will ever be here again.
And he will jump for joy.
Yes.
So the party planning committee is in session, and they, you know, Angela says, "We have a buttercream cake. And we're going to do a slideshow, but we only have two pictures of Toby." And, like, they're
literally from the same moment.
The same moment.
Taken in succession.
One where he's, like, reaching into the cabinet, and the other where he's turned looking at the camera.
Like, why are you taking a picture of me?
So Mike wants something big, like a New Orleans funeral, like a party. So, and then the quote, this is so quote.
Oh, my God.
This is so great. This is so quote.
Right? Yep.
"If the devil were to explode and evil was gone forever, what kind of party would you have?" And like he starts like coming up with ideas like toga party, and Angela complains that about his demands and that
he wants an anti-gravity.
Yeah, an anti-gravity machine. Like, and he explains like Willy Wonka when Grandpa Joe and Charlie like float up to the ceiling.
The fizzy lifting drinks.
Yeah, and Angela complains about his demands that they don't have the money. So Michael takes off his shoe and starts pulling wads of cash.
Oh my God!
And he does a talking head where he explains that his grandma sends him $50 every year for his birthday, but she's losing it, so she sends like nine or ten times a year. So he's like saving. He's been saving up this money for something big, and you know, he wants the anti-gravity machine. Angela says she won't participate in all this, and Phyllis, he's like, "Phyllis, can you do this?" And she's like, "Yes."
Yeah,
she's taking the lead on this one.
Oh my God! So she's like, "Yes, I can."
So this blonde woman in business attire arrives with a box to see Toby.
Mm-hmm.
She introduces herself as Holly Flax.
Yep.
And Pam like shows her the way. So Toby does a talking head where he says he is showing his replacement around. They only allowed him one day for this training.
That's how much the company cares.
So Pam goes to Jim in the break room. She's all excited. Oh my God. She got into the Pratt School of Design.
Uh-huh.
And she says she's going to NYC for 3 months. But in a talking head, she explains that, you know, things are solid with Jim. This is like the perfect time.
Yeah. You know what? And I love that because here's the thing. Every time we saw her trying to better herself when she was with Roy, Roy would always shoot it down. He'd be like, "Why do you want to do that? That's stupid. What about this? What about us? You can't do that." And Jim's just like,
supportive.
"Yeah, you'll be gone for you'll be 2 hours away, but it'll be great and we'll make it work."
Yeah.
And he's absolutely supportive of everything that she wants, and that's the type of relationship everyone should be in.
That she needs. So Mike and Dwight are in his office, and they're peering through his window, watching Toby and Holly go through the office, and they decide to haze her. Dude, good old-fashioned hazing.
Oh, my God.
So we go to Phyllis, who's on the phone for an anti-gravity machine, and they say, "Well, we have antidepressants."
Do you want me to connect you to somebody with that?
She just goes, "Okay."
She's
like,
yeah.
So awesome.
God.
Toby brings Holly into Michael's office to introduce her, and he's, like, openly hostile.
Yeah.
And he describes how HR and Michael are in an eternal struggle to have fun. And guess what? He's going to win. And, like, Holly kind of wins him over a little bit. Yeah. She says, like, "Well, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I almost fell asleep when he showed me the files."
Yeah.
And, of course, Toby just takes it like a punching bag.
But she's like, "My God, what did you do to him?"
Yeah.
And Toby's like, "Nothing."
And Michael's like, he tortured me with his awfulness.
Yeah.
So great. So he does a talking head where he says, HR is a breeding ground for monsters. Maybe Holly is a good monster.
I forgot some monsters can be good.
Yeah, and I was expecting, he kind of went a different direction here where he said, like, E.T.
Yeah.
I was waiting for him to say, like, Cookie Monster.
Or Alf.
Alf! Oh my god, Alf. Alf was an alien. I loved Alf. I hope Alf is on that greatest sitcom of all time. I hope that makes a good run.
By an alien life form. An Alf, if you will.
So, Creed now meets Holly. And she's like, oh, I can't wait to hear about what you do here. And Creed, like, just goes, uh-huh, and just, like, walks away.
But she's like, what do you do here? And he's like, uh-huh.
Yeah, and he just walks away. So then he does a talking head.
He's, like, plastered against the refrigerator.
He's
hiding
behind the refrigerator like a fucking hostage.
Oh, my God.
And he's talking about, what do I do here? I should have remembered.
He's like, what does that lady want to know what I do here? What's any business of it of hers? It's something qua... I should have written it down.
He's trying to sound out quality assurance. Oh, God. So now Dwight introduces Holly to Kevin. And he tells her that he's on a special workers program because he's slow.
In his brain.
And she thinks that's so great.
Yeah.
And Dwight does a talking head where he describes, hazing shows new coworkers that they aren't welcomed or liked.
Yes.
And Holly's, like, very nice to Kevin and speaks, like, slowly.
Yeah.
Like, hi.
She, like, approaches him very cautiously.
Which I will say, as someone who is an advocate for this group, intellectually disabled, do not talk to them that way. It's very, what's the word I'm looking at? Not like
demeaning.
Demeaning. Like, they are individuals with dignity.
Yeah.
And, like, not to talk down to them like children, especially if they're adults.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's not, I mean, I'm not going to fault people for doing it.
She's an HR rep. She should have training.
So, yeah, that's true. They probably have a program like that for real. So, but, like, she's all nice and speaks to him. And Kevin says, I do the numbers. He plays it so well. And then he goes, want an M&M?
I keep them on my desk so other people don't eat them.
Yeah, and he holds, like, the jar of M&Ms. And she's like, that's so good. That's a good place for them, Kevin.
Right? Oh, my God.
So awesome. So Michael is, like, comes over and he's, like, bad at flirting. Like, are you a hologram? And he asks her where she's, like, going to be staying. And he just doesn't even let her answer. He says, I'm going to make you a mix for your commute.
Yeah.
So he goes to his office to make her a mixtape.
Ugh.
Toby gets a photo from Pam. It's a group photo of everyone in the office. But he wants, like, Pam's
He's
not
like,
in the
pic. He's like, you're not in there. Yeah. She's like, of course not. I was taking it, silly.
So he wants a pic with Pam. And he turns around because nobody has a camera. He just goes, anyone got a camera? He's like,
so I don't have a camera
he's
here.
Like, he's like panicked and frantic. And, like, nobody does. So he's like, okay, I'm going to go get. And he runs out
he
of the office.
He literally sprints out of the office.
So we go, and Jim is on the phone with Ryan. He's excited about a big sale. He fucking nailed another one.
Yep.
And Ryan just wants him to log it into the website.
Well,
that's it.
Ryan also, he goes, oh, congratulations. And Jim goes, thank you. And he goes, don't interrupt. Congratulations on doing your job.
Such a dick.
Dick.
Such a
cockhead.
Oh,
my God.
So Mike is now in his office downloading music for a mix. Fucking Dave Matthews
Crash.
Band.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So if I could do the vomiting emoji face, I would.
Is that the one? Upside down or upside down?
No, I think it's like, I'm a crash.
Oh, that, okay. You're right. So he calls Jim in and asks him what songs work on two levels. Welcome to Scranton and I love you. So, like, Jim tries to settle him down because he just met Holly, and he describes how he took his time.
Yep.
And it's too early to say I love you. He says the office is perfect for courting. You know, he talks about all the memories with Pam. Like, they actually had their first kiss there,
mm-hmm.
about the first time they joked, the first meal they had in the break room. And he says, like, the workplace is a great place to get to know someone, to know if you really do love them.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's saying
Which
all this...
Which is so untrue, because actually they're not the same person they are at work.
Not even close.
Like...
And his eyes light up as he's, like, saying
yeah.
this. So he goes to Phyllis, and he wants fireworks for Toby's party.
Yes, he does.
And he pulls out an envelope of cash, says, I'll be taking care of this.
I love how everybody just has that much cash on them.
Oh, yeah.
Scranton is not generally like that. They're not flush.
Not only Christ. That, but, like, who carries, get, like, drug dealers?
Right. You know what I mean?
So he does a talking head where he says, tonight he's proposing. He's going to make it a perfect night.
He's going to do it.
So we go into the break room. Kevin is at a vending machine.
This is fine.
And Holly comes in to help him. And she's like, well, what do you want? He's like, I want pretzels or do I want chips? Like, he doesn't know what he wants. And she's like, well, how much money do you have? She's going to help him. And
his change.
As she's going through the change, there's a button in
there. She goes, that's a button.
And he just looks like, oh. It's so fucking great.
The fuck?
But then they go to a talking head of Kevin where he says, I'm going to bang Holly.
Yeah.
She's super nice and I think she's really into me.
Oh my God.
So we go and Jim is in the vestibule now and he's making an impassioned call to Ryan like, you just want me to quit. You don't want me here. Guess what? I'm going to work my ass off.
Yeah, I'm not letting you push me out, dude.
By golly, people like me.
Yes, know? Jim. Yes.
I mean, it was.
There's your backbone.
I like it. I don't know.
Because he's showing passion for something.
It was fire.
Yeah.
But I don't know. For some reason, I felt like, not like Jim the character, but John Krasinski was like holding back a bit. Like, I felt like it could have been a little more oof to it.
Oh, I don't think so. Because you have to remember, he was still trying to be professional. Like,
yeah.
He was like, that still is his boss's boss.
I suppose. Like, I don't know. For like some reason, I'm watching, I'm like, I think I would have let loose a little more. But then again,
I'm a different... Yeah, was your boss's boss?
I might have. I don't know. Because, like, if it's something like that where the guy is openly a dick to you like, that gets your blood boiling, you know? Like, has anybody... Has a superior ever done that? Like, talked down to demeaned you like that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And doesn't it get your blood boiling? I know
yes,
you got a
does.
Hot temper. You got the
it
hottest
does,
temper
but,
of anyone I know.
Yeah, I know. But I've never blown up at my boss.
I don't know.
I've taken the correct procedures. I've done my work. No, because there was a boss in a different area in a different state.
I understand not doing it to their face, but I think a voicemail, not even talking to him on the phone, I think a voicemail would give you the latitude and freedom to do that.
No, you see, what you do is you type out what you want to say to them, you backspace, you type it out again, you backspace, and then you type out what you're actually going to say.
I can imagine
them.
You like typing it, and as you're like finishing a sentence, you hit that period. You hit that period so fucking hard.
Yeah, the keyboard like jumps up.
God. So Michael goes to HR where Holly is disassembling a chair because she tried to fix the lumbar support, and one thing led to another. So she's trying to fix it, and like there's more flirting here. And
yes.
Mike comments on her pose as she's sitting on the floor.
Which, if we're being honest, like, she's literally just sitting with her knees, like, to the side.
And Michael's like, oh, you know.
How do you sit like that?
And she says, yoga. And of course, Michael just does a Yoda impression. Sit down, floor, she will. And, like, she looks at him, and he's, like, embarrassed. He just goes, yoga. Yoda.
Yep.
And, you know, he's kind of like, oh, I fucked that one up. And then she answers him back in Yoda. Hand me curvy metal piece, will you?
Yep.
And his eyes, the look I have here.
The look
he gives is just like, it's like the first
time. It's like a cartoon when the heart eyes come out.
When you meet somebody and you kind of dig them, like think back in high school when you meet somebody, and like you don't know them that well or anything like that, but then like they bust something out like that, like if we're Star Wars nerds, can you imagine a girl just answering me on the phone like, hello, Kevin. Doing well, are you? Or something like that. That's huge. I'm just saying.
You know what's actually funny is my husband told me that the moment he, like, realized he really started to like me before we dated and everything. So my husband is obviously a musician. We've talked about that before. But we used to listen to A Day to Remember a lot. And he walked into our friend's house one day and I was doing, like, one of the screaming parts. And I was like, like it's like a growl scream type.
Like they
of thing.
Put a microphone in the gullet of a Saint
Bernard.
Yeah,
essentially. And I was doing that. And he walked in. He's just like, "That's the one."
He fluttered, pitter patter.
That was his hard eyes moment for me.
So Michael has that moment, and he starts like going into this roundabout way, like, "Oh, I won't be around. Are you doing anything this weekend?
I'm not going to be around."
Like
he doesn't even give her a chance to answer.
He catches himself, and she's like, "Oh, you won't be able to make my orgy." And he's like, "Huh?" And she's like, joking. And then they start doing the John Lovitz acting from Saturday Night Live, and she's like, "Oh, Lovitz." And he does the look again, like, "Yeah,
yep." Oh, she knows.
She knows my stupid references. So Michael goes to Jim at his desk, and he's all breathless and still excited.
Yep.
And Jim's like, don't do anything stupid, like pretty much like coaching him. Phyllis now goes over to Angela to ask her for what vendors she uses for the parties, but she shredded them. So Phyllis goes, oops, and just knocks a bunch of shit off her desk.
Yo, that was some cold-blooded shit from Angela.
Oh, she's a bitch.
Yeah.
Now Michael is back with Holly. They're on the floor doing the chair thing, and Toby comes back. And he reminds Mike that he needs to do his exit interview.
Yeah.
And Michael,
oh my
like
God,
the
his
Grinch,
eyes
man,
light up.
Like the Grinch smile.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
So Toby is sitting in the conference room, and Michael enters and, like, puts a gift on the table. This very nicely wrapped gift.
It is.
And he starts to rip him. Of all the idiots in all of the idiot villages in all of the world, like, he starts going off. But Toby, or Holly enters to sit in on the meeting.
Yep.
She has these binders. And then Pam comes in to take notes. And Michael wants to ask his prepared questions.
Yes.
But he does it, like, nicely, like,
Who do you
think you are? And Toby's...
Toby.
I'm Toby. That's all he says.
What gives you the right?
And then, like, Holly steps in with, like, the binder, like, the prepared question. Yeah. And Pam's like, oh, Toby, why don't you open your gift? And so Toby opens it, and it's a rock with a rubber band and a note around it.
Oh, wait, you missed it, though, because the first question... from Holly is...
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
What would you change about Dunder Mifflin? And as Toby goes to answer, Michael puts his hands up across his face so that Holly and Pam can't see. And he mouths, I'll kill you.
I will kill you.
And Toby's like, all right, never mind. Everything's great. And then he opens up
the gift, and it's a rock with a note on it that says, suck on this. And Toby goes, and like Pam and like Holly are like, Michael! And Michael's like, that's not mine. What? And he gets up and he says,
I have many gifts in my car.
And he starts yelling out at the office. He's like, who did this? Who did this? And Dwight goes, well, you told me to wrap it, Michael. I thought it was a little too far. This is fucking great. So then Michael sits down and says it's a psych out for his real gift. And they're like, well, where is it? What is it? And Michael's like buying time, like stuttering.
Yep.
And Pam goes, oh, you're giving him your watch, right? And Michael's like, yes.
Yes, my watch. I am.
And he gives it, and like Holly and Pam are like, oh, nice, Michael. She gave him an out and he took it. And of course, Toby's like, nice watch, Michael. Ooh.
I'm going to set this to Costa Rican
time. Yeah, he does. He sets it to Costa Rican time. So as they're doing this, there's a big commotion outside. And they go out there and they're watching on, I guess it was YouTube?
Yeah, I think so.
And Ryan is being arrested.
For fraud!
Yeah, Oscar explains that he was, you know, each sale was
documented twice.
Once by the sale.
Website,
yeah, by the salesman. Yeah, and then they put it on the website. And that's fraud.
Yeah.
And so Michael's like all upset. My friend! Mm-hmm. Jim goes to Pam at reception, says, patch me through to Ryan. And he leaves, like, a snarky voicemail.
Like, oh, voicemail.
I see you got your hands full, Ryan.
Your hands are going to be tied up.
Yeah. So that's that. And then, Holly goes in to talk to Michael to calm him down about his friend.
Yeah. Well, she goes, Toby, what's the protocol? And he's like, kind of just let him do his thing.
Just leave him alone.
Yeah.
So she goes in there to be nice to him. Now, this is, this is when it picks up, man.
Yep.
Everyone goes outside, and there's a band.
It's like a fucking carnival.
It is. It's a Ferris wheel, a bounce house, fireworks, there's
barbecues.
Grills. Yeah. And Bob Vance standing there with the sunglasses and an arm. Like, he did the whole
thing.
Amazing. So Kevin runs to the bounce house, and Phyllis goes, Kevin, take off your shoes. And Holly's like, oh, look at him. He's having so much fun.
My God.
As this huge man jumps in the bounce house. Pam notices the fireworks, though, and she does a talking head where she said, is he going to propose tonight? He's going to propose, right?
She gets really excited.
So we see Holly and Michael on the Ferris wheel, and she's talking about a past job where she says it was hard to rise up. And Michael says, that's what she... Yeah, and he stops himself.
He does.
And she goes, I think it's really cool you hired Kevin. Oh, and Michael's just like, oh, yeah, yeah, he's a good guy. He doesn't know.
He has no idea that Dwight told her that.
Now we see Meredith and Dwight trying to break into Holly's car.
Dude.
And Moe's comes around the corner with a cage with a raccoon in it. And they're going to put it in her car.
Oh,
and, like, Holly notices, and she goes over, and Michael goes over there, and they're like, what is it? There's a raccoon in the car! And Moe's, like, drops the cage, runs away, hiding behind a fence, peering up. And Michael does this impassioned speech about how they should be happy that Holly's there. She's the best thing that's happened since World War II. And, like, he does this impassioned speech about it. And, like,
it's not rabid. It's not rabid.
So Dwight and Meredith are going to get the raccoon out because she used like a Slim Jim to open
the
door.
She broke into the car. Yeah.
And, Holly tells Michael she feels so welcomed and she puts her hand on his arm.
Yeah.
And
she's holding her Mountain W.
And there's this like quiet moment and like she just goes, I'm going to go over here.
Dude, Michael's face in this talking head, there's like actual tears in his eyes.
Yeah, he's
it's
joyful.
Beautiful.
Because Jan didn't believe in human contact.
She didn't believe in showing affection. So
when a girl touches him, he gets excited.
He's like, I still don't know how to react to it.
Yeah. So then we, Phyllis asks Kevin to go get barbecue sauce.
Yep, because they're all out, Mrs. Vance.
So Kevin goes to his car, and Holly is amazed. She's like, "You drive?
You have your own car?"
Yeah, he's like, "Yeah," and she's like, "That's so amazing!"
Oh my god!
And then as he's getting buckled in, she's like, "I'm really proud of you, Kevin."
And he's just, like, got this big fucking grin.
As he drives away, he looks at the camera like, yeah.
Yep, I'm gonna do her.
That's so great. Now, the band stops playing for a second, and Michael steps up to the mic. He gives a shout-out to Phyllis for the party. It's a great party.
Yep, best one they ever threw.
Oh, yeah, and Angela Seed.
Sour Pussin.
So he mentions his parody songs that he's done, like Beers in Heaven and...
Total Eclipse of the Fart.
Of course. And he has a new one that he just wrote, especially for Toby. And he says to the band, Daryl's band,
yep.
He says, "Do you guys know Goodbye Stranger, Supertramp?" And they're like, "Oh, yeah." So they start playing it. And we get the, probably the thing this episode is most known for, the Goodbye Toby song.
If I ever hear Goodbye Stranger, it immediately goes to Goodbye Toby.
Goodbye Toby,
it's been nice, hope you find your paradise.
And as he's going, like, the band starts breaking it down. And Michael, "Feel no pain! Goodbye, Toby! Toby's going away!" He's like,
he's
freaking
like
out.
Doing a fucking square dance up there.
You've never seen someone so fucking joyful. And
oh
they're like,
my
he
God.
Is smiling. He is sweating.
Toby's going away!
Oh, he's so into it. He like just fucking nails it.
Yep.
So Pam does a talking head where she says she'll miss Toby's calming presence. And she always thought he was cute.
Don't tell him, though.
Hilarious. Holly tells Michael that she'd love to hear Beers in Heaven as he's getting a snack. And that's when his phone goes off and Kevin calls him.
I love what Michael says. He's like, "Oh, I'd love to. You know, but maybe not yet. It's pretty sexual in nature."
I want to know how...
Beers in Heaven.
A song that Eric Clapton wrote about his dead son. Michael turned it into this sexual parody.
Oh, God.
I am curious. So Kevin calls Michael. Mike's like, "Oh, I gotta go. Gotta go check in
with
Kevin."
He's at Garrity's.
He's at Garrity's local supermarket depot.
Yeah.
And Holly says, "Well, yeah, it's been a big day for him. The party, going out on his own."
He's
Mike's
like,
"Yeah." It's crazy. So Michael gets to Garrity's, and Kevin comes out talking to Jan Levinson.
Dan Levinson is back,
and Mike, baby. And he just says to Michael, "I think you kids have some catching up to do,
right?" Like, and also, he only went for barbecue sauce.
Yeah, and he comes out with this cart. He has this whole cart full of shit. So he's leaving, and as he walks in front of Jan, she's preggers.
Yo, she is super pregnant.
Well, not super. Like what? 5 months? 4 months? That didn't look like a
she
huge,
had a belly.
Did, well, I know, like a pooch. It wasn't like a belly, like 8 months, was it?
I'm saying she's like 7 months.
Oh, wow. I gotta see more pregnant chicks.
Yeah, you do.
Anyway.
They don't start really showing until
like 5 months.
Or six.
I thought it was, it didn't look that big.
She had a like sweater that was tied above her bump.
It was noticeable, obviously. I'm not saying that, but like, I've seen women who are
she's
8 or 9 months.
Okay. Yeah, she's like 7 months pregnant.
Okay, I was 2 months off. I'm sorry. So, Michael
a
lot is like,
can happen in
Michael
two
sees
months.
It and he's like, they sit down to talk and he's all excited because he thinks it's his.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jan says, "Well, it did happen while we were together.
But it's not yours."
She explains she went to a sperm bank.
Well, I love you cheated on me when I specifically asked you not to.
So, God, so great. And, like, she does a talking head where she explains that, you know, if she was 22, sure, she'd let Michael have a crack at one, but she has to make this one count, which is amazing. What a line. Oh, so then she invites Michael to her Lamaze class in Allentown.
In Allentown?
Yeah, that's like an hour drive
that's
from Scranton.
That's like an hour and a half drive from Scranton.
And I can't
believe. I know there's Lamaze classes.
I was going to say.
Between here and
well,
there.
Well, Jan, you know, she's...
Yeah,
drives a Porsche.
But also,
she wants to go to the, you know, the closest best.
Have fun paying me back with your $0 a year salary plus benefits, babe.
I like to imagine that Serenity by Jan took off. But who knows? So we go back to the office. It's dark now, and the fireworks are starting, and everyone's all happy and like, woo!
They're all cuddling loved ones.
And the camera goes in. Toby just like shrugs.
He's like, "What the fuck?"
He looks like he couldn't be fucking bothered.
Right?
So Jim is sitting in a lawn chair next to Pam.
Yep.
And we see he pulls
he's
the
like
ring.
Shimmying.
Yeah, he pulls the ring out of his pocket and he's like really wasting time. Like, there's no perfect moment.
Well,
you just got to fucking do it.
I'm nervous.
The fireworks are up there. Yeah. You just got to do it. So as
the music
is
playing.
As he's about to do it, we hear Andy grab the mic. He announces to everyone, and he goes, Angela Martin, will you get up here? And he also announces his parents are there, who are wearing, like, Argyle sweaters. Fucking,
yep.
Like, wasps. So he calls Angela. Angela won't go up, so he goes, I'll come to you.
My flower.
Yes, and he goes, but as he takes the mic cord, it knocks Daryl's keyboard down, and Daryl goes, damn it! Did I ever tell you about the time I tackled the keyboard?
No.
Oh, this was the best. So, back in high school, you know, I was in a band.
Yeah.
And we had a battle of the bands at a hall one time. And my band, we played, I think we were second from the top. And we were doing okay. We had original songs. We were doing covers. Doing great. And there was the one band who was playing after us. They were kind of douchey. I think you might know. I'm not going to drop names, but you know some of them. And they had a keyboardist who was like kind of an idiot. He was just kind of a jerk off.
Wow.
But so we're doing our set.
Yes, I think I know who you're talking
and
about.
And we did Man in the Box by Alice in Chains was one of the covers. And like, you know, the dude's doing the guitar solo. So I'm like, oh, I'm the front man. I got to make action. So I go down like moshing with people kind of, you know, getting some energy going. So then I started doing this airplane spin. I put my arms out and started running around and spinning around. And next thing I know, I ran full speed into this dude's keyboard.
It
fucking went down. It made the noise that Daryl's made. Like the fucking keys going down. And all I remember is this guy running over like Michael Keaton at the end of The Other Guys. Oh my God, he's dying. Like, he's like trying to pick up his fucking keyboard. Our drummer's laughing his ass off. The guy's still shredding on guitar.
Oh, my God.
It was a great moment. But that's the sound of Daryl's keyboard.
Really?
Like, I had like a Vietnam flashback to that moment. I was like, oh. So Andy goes out to Angela, and he asks her to marry him. And she says, okay. That's all she says.
That's it.
And Jim, you know,
but he's like, into the microphone, she goes, I said okay.
The least happy like bride-to-be you've
yeah.
ever seen. And of course, Andy gets up, and the crowd goes wild.
She
yeah!
said yes!
He's so great. So, talking head of Andy, he said, oh, and as this is happening, Jim puts the ring back in his pocket.
Yep. But then we see Dwight, and he's just, like, devastated.
Oh, well, I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
So Andy does a talking head where he says the ring has been in his wallet for 6 years. Because you never know when the time was right or you meet the right girl. And tonight was
desperate.
Right. Tonight was right with the fireworks. So Dwight does a talking head where he's, like, all forlorn, sitting on the Ferris wheel, just saying, it was my own fault.
Yep.
And it was. He mercy killed her cat. So, Toby now goes to Meredith and asks him to take pictures of a picture of him and Pam. So Meredith does it, and Pam,
she's like, "Yo, you got a weird face, Pam. Let me take it again."
Pam's not like smiling. It's like that meek smile that
yeah.
we've come accustomed to, where like she doesn't show her teeth and she's just like a small smirk. Mm. And Meredith snaps like 15 more pictures. And
well, and Toby's like, "It's digital. Take as many as you need."
He's just, as many as I can put in the spank bank.
Seriously.
So then Pam does a talking head where she's like, I thought Jim was going to propose. She's down because she thought it was the night.
She did.
So Holly, Michael comes back. Holly goes up to him and tells him what happened about the proposal and everything. And she kind of like, you know, not so subtly is like, you know what? You want to go get like some dessert? I could go for a bite, you know, off campus.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael's like, oh, you go to the Glider Diner. Stanley loves it there.
Yeah, he basically lives there. Yeah. Ask him about it. But I think he's still in shock.
Oh, he has no
yeah.
idea. So Kevin comes up to her and offers to go with her. And he goes, we can eat pie. That's his
God.
He plays it so fucking great. So
he does.
And Holly's like, oh, okay. You know, so the two of them are going. And she does a talking head where she said, you know, this was as good a first day as you could hope for. And then she goes, I got to go buckle him in. And Kevin's in the passenger side waiting to get buckled in.
Oh, my God.
So Toby is wistfully looking at pictures at his desk.
Ew.
And he's like, it's time. You know, this is it for him. He's
mm-hmm.
moving to Costa Rica. And he hears, like, Toby. He turns around and Michael's there with the security guard.
Hank,
and he's like, we're going to walk you out because you might steal something. So this is like Michael's...
But the security guard, well, no, he goes, it's protocol. And he goes, no, it's not. And he goes, well, he might steal something. And Hank's like, I don't think he's going to steal anything.
This is like Michael's last, like, kick in the balls.
Dig, yeah.
He has security escort him out. But as they're leaving, Toby's watch goes out, the alarm Michael's
yeah.
set goes off. Of course, Michael's like, fuck. So the last thing we see is Michael in his office. And it's not the last thing I should say. He leaves a voicemail for Jan that he will go with her.
Yeah.
He just needs some details like time, place,
what Lamaze is.
And he says, I'm going to be kind of a daddy.
Ugh.
Which is, yeah, right?
Yeah.
So now we see Phyllis, it's the after party. Like, yeah. Everything's shut down and she's cleaning up in the office and she's going, she hears like grunting. So she opens the door to the office. And we see Angela and a shirtless Dwight making out hot and heavy.
I don't think they were making out.
Well, they were fucking.
Yeah.
To put it mildly.
Yeah.
They was fucking.
They was fucking.
So, and we see their surprised faces.
Well, I love how Dwight, like, turns around and just his face, like.
Was that his O face you just did?
No, I think that was the, I'm trying to crane my neck and use my glasses to see who's at the door.
But, I mean, then that's what we go
back
on.
I love how you can see Angela's ring glinting in the light, too.
It's good positioning.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the end of that. That's the end of the season.
That's a good cliffhanger, man.
So what'd you give this one?
I gave this one a 4.9.
Ooh, are you doing the Oz thing where you're like, there's no such thing as a 5?
No, bitch. I've given out more 5s than you.
That's false. I don't know if that's true. But so what was the point one? What are we missing on this one?
The point one was, hold on, I had it notated here.
Okay, no problem. Do you?
I did. Dave Matthews.
Oh, fuck Dave Matthews. He could have picked,
I fucking hate Dave Matthews,
he could have picked,
man.
Like, a Frey song or something.
Anything, yeah. But Dave fucking Matthews.
I went
fucking hate Dave Matthews.
I went the full Monty, 5.
Okay.
To me, I think it was fucking entertaining.
Oh, my
God,
yeah.
It moved stories along. Like, it was perfect. It was great. Yeah. And
we find out that Pam is going to New York. I mean,
Jim
everything.
Didn't propose. Andy did propose.
Dwight's, yeah, that one was kind of out of the blue.
Dwight's still fucking Angela. Michael has a new interest, if you will. Toby's gone. A lot went down, man. Kevin is mentally disabled, apparently,
in
Holly's mind. So there are some things I have questions about.
Okay.
Why is Mike suddenly competent?
I don't know if I get what you mean.
Think about him with Carol. Think about him with Jan. Think about him with, like, when he went on that date or the coffee meetup with
Pam's
that
landlord.
Sweet lady.
I think.
No, just. Go
ahead.
Just think about Michael saying inappropriate things,
mm-hmm.
acting like he doesn't know social cues, like just being a buffoon. All of a sudden, he's stopping himself from saying that's what she said. He is, like, being suave and flirtatious like a real person would be.
Jim actually coached him.
Jim just told him, don't tell her you love her, don't kiss her. Like, that's
but
much
I think he was like, don't kiss her, don't tell her you love her, but try to get to know her. Instead of just immediately trying to get her into bed, essentially. Try to get to know her. And I think as he's getting to know her, he's like, oh, she's, like, actually great. Like, she kind of has similar interests as me. She gets my jokes. So I don't need to force the that's what she said jokes. You know what I mean? Like, she gets the references.
Yeah. But, well, see, the thing is, like, I feel like I've talked about it a few times, like, the inconsistencies of the Michael character were, like, these poles.
I think everybody acts differently when they find their one.
How do we know? The one. He knew her for 3 hours. He thought Carol
and she's
was
the only
one
who, like, got his references and jokes.
Okay, that's different.
And played along back to him.
He put his face on Carol's skiing photo and sent it out as a Christmas card. How can that same guy all of a sudden be like, oh, well, this is the one I'm going to definitely straighten myself out. Like, he did the most, like, fucked up stuff.
Yeah.
The shit with Jen, like, how they act and everything.
Yeah, but
like,
he's
I understand
also
it's
growing.
Different. I understand it's
he's
different.
He's also growing. Yeah,
growing takes time.
The character arc. Yeah, and Carol was like season one.
Okay, and Jan was 5 episodes ago.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, but Jan was obviously unhealthy
and then
for
he
him,
was
and
going,
he knows that.
But then he was going and he was like trying to hook up with Amazons and the hot girls and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I will say, like, I understand that progression where he's like, when he said it's a sexy preschool.
Yeah.
Like, okay, maybe he realizes older women are the way to go or whatever. But then he shit all over Pam's landlady. Like, I guess, like, Holly, like, that would make sense in a way. But at the same time, it's just like, he's done so much fucked up stuff in the past.
Yeah, but he also finds Holly attractive. He didn't find the landlord attractive.
But you act a certain way in public. Like, I just find a hard time reconciling the way he acted, like, for 4 seasons.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, this
growth, man.
growth, it, like I said, growth takes time, and usually you see mile markers. Like, oh, he didn't do this week.
This is one of the mile markers.
This is a 180 swing.
We don't know how he's going to act next episode, next season.
We don't, but...
This might be the mile marker of Michael, you know, growing the fuck up and realizing some shit. But this is not bundle, Michael
here's
anymore.
Here's the difference with the... Okay, this is where I'm going to disagree with you on the growth thing. Okay, growth happens, and he won't do things that he used to do. That's growth, honestly. That's why I said, but he was perfect this episode. Growth is not... You don't go from like, oh, I know everything to do now and how to act like in the next day. Like, he didn't fuck up with Holly.
He did, at the end, to the fact
that she wanted to go out with him after work, after spending a whole day with him.
Like, yeah, Carol wanted to go out with him too, even after he was like asking all those questions and trying to pull out of a mortgage deal. Some women are desperate, man. Holly doesn't know anybody in Scranton except for this one guy who was nice to her.
I'm just saying, I get that. I get her side.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, from Michael's, it's like I said, there's growth and there's like growing pains.
He also had limited interactions with her.
He kept going like, to her. He spent the whole afternoon in the office with her.
Only in the office.
But yeah, but like he didn't say anything inappropriate. Then he just kept stopping himself.
I don't know.
Like that's what I mean. It's just like. There would be one fuck up. Like they should have just let him say that's what she said on the Ferris wheel, and maybe she finds it funny. Maybe. You know, like that's the thing. It's like I feel like he was too perfect this episode. I'm not saying like
I wouldn't say that.
Well, that and okay. Another thing, I'm not gonna crap on Jim and Pam. I'm gonna crap on the writing. This whole Angela Andy thing that stops. It just seems like it's delaying it even more. Like. It feels like, okay, we waited two seasons before
they got together.
He told her that he liked her at the end of the casino one in season two. Then we had to spend half a season where they were separated.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came back and they started dating. Now we've had the fourth season where they're dating that, and it's just like we're going to delay it to the fifth season where they actually get married. Like, I feel like just do it already.
Yeah, but at the same time,
I feel like it's forced because the Angela Andy thing, like, I don't care. I don't like it. I think this is just a delaying tactic because everybody wants the Jim Pam thing and they're just delaying it even more.
Yeah, but here's the thing with Jim and Pam though. So he's had that ring since a week after dating her.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been walking around with it. Like we know he's going to do it. Yeah. But Jim has it for one person.
I'm going back to real time though. Like no, the whole waiting an entire summer and fall.
But you also have to remember she's going away to school. I know before I went on a business trip for a month, I told my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, listen, if you are thinking about doing it before I go, don't. Because I don't want to spend the first few months separated.
Mm-hmm.
And he respected my wishes, obviously. But maybe that's what, you know, Pam maybe, like, I don't know. Maybe they've had that conversation offline. I don't know. We'll see what happens next season, but Pam is going away.
I'm not talking about the characters. I'm just talking about the writing. I'm thinking like, hey, we can squeeze more juice out of this
moment.
Listen,
I mean, don't think I would want to get engaged the same night that Angela and Andy
No, I'm not saying that.
I get what you're saying, the writing. I understand what you're saying.
Like, the Angela Andy thing
but
is
that's
so
a
weak
tactic,
sauce.
Dude.
It's so weak sauce.
But she did it to get back at Dwight after he mercy killed her cat.
I know that. No, I'm not. It's just like.
Yeah,
I don't
but this
care.
Is Andy, though. Andy is pathetic and desperate.
They've done such a horrible job with this relationship and this storyline where none of it's about Andy. He's just adult. It's just Angela being – like, it's like – nobody cares about Andy and Angela. Nobody cares about Dwight and Angela even at this point, you know? Like, I don't know.
Who the fuck do you think you're speaking
for? I don't know. Like, when I'm watching this, like, Andy and Angela are, like, the last thing in my mind when I'm watching the show. I'm more invested in, like, Phyllis getting back at Angela. I was more invested in Kevin Kevin being thought of as, like, a simpleton. Like, the Dwight-Angela thing just seemed, it didn't seem like it was part of the, organically part of the story. It felt like it was something that was thrown in at the end to swerve everything.
Angela and Dwight were dating for years.
No, I know that.
And then she
started dating Andy. This season.
Yes.
And it's like now, 6 weeks ago.
Yes. No, I understand that. But what I'm trying to say is she got engaged to him. And I think what I'm trying to say is Andy is so overbearing that I think that that's her release is like, well, I'm still with Andy, and I just agreed to marry him, but I know Dwight's still in love with me, so I can get back to him. go back to him if I want to.
Angela's we'll a complex character. We'll have to see how
it plays out, though, honestly.
I just think that it was a tool used, a device to elongate the wait for Jim and Pam. I almost feel like this, you know how we talked about episodes?
Yeah, but we always talk about how we don't get enough of the ancillary characters, and this is going to be obviously bringing them up front and center.
Angela is featured heavily.
But Andy's not.
Andy doesn't need to be. Andy's awful. I fucking hate the Andy character.
I know, but...
But the thing is...
We can't have it both ways. We can't say we want more of the backstory or we want more of the other characters. And then when they...
Yes, we can.
Give us an opportunity to give us
other
characters.
Because this is an extenuating circumstance. This is a season finale. This is just...
Exactly. It's trying to set us up for next season.
When you go to a movie, do you want to see the bad guy win and you go home like, oh, bummer?
No, but what I'm saying is this
just
is
let Jim and Pam get engaged. Just let it happen.
Okay, all I'm saying is Empire Strikes Back. That's all I'm saying. Okay? We ended the second act.
They were still alive.
Everybody's still alive, yeah, but
this
everybody's downtrodden.
This is season. How many episodes did we watch this season where we're like, that ended on a sour note? There's like at
Maybe
least
that's
three.
The season.
Out of 14, there's like three or four where I'm just like, oh, that's ended like so lame.
Yeah, but guess what?
Why is the season finale?
Now we're excited for it.
No, I'm not.
Season 5?
No,
not, I am.
You know why I'm not excited for Jim
why,
and Pam?
Kevin?
Because it should be done. It should be over with. They should be engaged.
I don't think so.
Not done, like, over. I'm just saying, like...
I don't think
it's been they dragged this out. Like, do you ever hear about, like,
you
hitting
the
peak?
You have to think, though.
Hitting
like,
the
we're
peak.
Watching this. We're binging it, right? So we're like, oh my God, this is taking forever. Think about...
I would have been pissed off in real time. I was pissed off in real time.
No, you weren't.
Why do you think I stopped watching? Okay, so I even mentioned this in the pilot that this was pretty much the high watermark of my fandom, and I faded after this because I, at the time, thought that they missed the peak, that they could have done the Jim and Pam thing, and I hated Andy at the time. I still do. He hasn't grown on me.
Yeah, Andy's.
And, but like, I felt like they were just fucking with the viewers at this point. Like, we're going to like keep this going. We're going to keep them coming back. We're not going to give them the payoff they want. We're just going to keep delaying it. And, like, that's why, like, season 5 came around. I only remember the season premiere of season 5.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the weight loss one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the only thing I remember about season 5. Because I stopped watching because I felt like the writers and were just fucking with the viewers at this point. It had been, because this is what, 2008? So it's been 3 years, three full years, four seasons of the show where I've been invested and they're just, like, not doing it. And I felt fucked with. And I feel, and like, going back and, like, we're not watching
but
it.
But this is
hold
the
on,
story
not,
that they get to tell. We're just following the story.
We're just following it. That doesn't mean we have to like it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a 5-star episode. I love the episode. But I'm just, like, saying, like, this is the one thing that gets stuck in my craw. Is, like, I feel like...
Yeah,
they
but
missed...
you've had it out for Pam and Jim.
No, no.
Since the fucking pilot.
Most of that was tongue-in-cheek. Like, ooh, they're so cute together. Like, I was just, like, fucking around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had no problem with the story they were telling. Like, she was with Roy, and then he was with her. Like, I mean, I got a little bitchy in the Filippelli part, and I think you did, too. I think you kind of realized, like, okay, they're just fucking...
No, I realized that a while ago, was that, like, becoming... Like I said, that meme. The worst part of becoming an adult was realizing that Karen Filippelli did nothing wrong, and I hated her because she wasn't Pam.
But you realized at that time, too, like, okay, like... You're just wasting time until Jim and Pam inevitably get together. Because they gave Karen no dimension or anything like that. It was just like a device to get them keep them separated longer.
Yeah.
And like that's how I felt about it, where at the end of season 3, we had to wait for that. And like at the end of season 4, after 3 seasons of that, I was just like...
But here's
you know,
the thing. They're not going to give you the payoff on a season finale.
Then what is the fucking point of
the
a season
finale? The
season
finale is to give you a cliffhanger to get you to tune in.
What
the
if
next
the show gets
season?
Canceled and you don't see it?
They like, knew it wasn't going to be canceled at that point.
It's
they
happened to
knew
a bunch
it.
Of shows.
Not the Office was in their fucking high point at this point.
And that, and like I said, the high watermark, and then I faded off. Because they lost me with this.
No, but what I'm saying is that they knew they were going to get another season. They're not going to give you the payoff on a fucking
which
season.
Which means you're
going
to
have on a season finale.
Which means you're going to have to wait 4.5 months to see it again. And guess
hell
what?
Yeah.
I didn't want. I was in college. I had a life. And I said, my Thursday nights, I...
And that's your decision,
I spent
man.
4 years of Thursday nights doing this, and I don't want to do
that's
it anymore.
That's your decision, man. Guess what?
Got that feeling again
countless
today.
Countless of millions of others
I feel like it's
felt
downhill.
The need to come in.
I feel like it's down... And they're not countless. It's probably 5 million. But
I doubt that it was 5 million.
You're right. Probably 2008 before streaming, it was probably more like 12. But listen, this is one where like I got like flashbacks to like me being that age and like watching the show in real time and going, God, I feel like they blueballed me again. And guess what? I'm probably not going to see Jim and Pam actually get engaged till the end of season 5 now. And it's just annoying to me because I feel like this is my only fucking problem with this show. Like, the Michael character, I get. Like, I might have my issues with how it's presented sometimes, but I get it.
Yeah.
But, like, this is, like, one where this is the main overarching story of the show.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, fucking get up, shit or get off the pot with it at this point. But I digress. I'm probably just pissed off a lot of people who like The Office. I just feel fucked with.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's the season four finale, so let's talk about the season in totality. You have the scores, I presume?
I do. So our averages...
Okay, let's hear
this
it.
...this season... was for you. You rated this season a 3.5.
Not bad. That's better than average.
I rated it 3.9.
That's not a big discrepancy. Wait, so we were both under 4?
Yeah.
Because last season we were both, I think, at 4.2. Mm-hmm. So we both viewed this season
but
as kind of
we
weaker.
Also have to understand this season only has 14.
Yeah, but the other one may have had worse episodes.
But there was
more good
but
ones.
But this one had a rough time.
The middle was bad.
So, like, Survivor Man was a 2.9 and a 2.4 for us. The Deposition, 2.8, 3.0.
You scored that lower than me.
Yeah, wow. I did. Chair Model really brought the averages down with a 2.4 from me and a 1.8 from you.
Yeah.
Like, and that's where it struggled, was honestly with those four episodes.
Yeah. Oh, God, you were like, in the twos. Holy
yeah.
Shit. Yeah, that was
that's
a bad
what
stretch.
I mean, like...
Well, that's what I mean, and, you know, taking
but
in
it
totality.
Had Dinner Party thrown in the middle there.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the hard thing is, like, this is probably one of my favorite seasons, but with those three in there, it really
kills
brought
it.
Down
it kills
the whole
it.
Season.
Totally kills
but
it.
But the individual episodes within this this season
there's good ones.
Are some of my favorites. Yeah.
So, I mean, we each gave 1.5.
Yeah.
We each gave some mid fours, it looks like, 4.5, 4.3.
I gave mostly fours. You gave mostly threes.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, what I have to say about this season is that it was very uneven and inconsistent, which shocks me because I thought by season four they'd be in a... I mean, I know the writer's strike and everything kind of threw a wrench into that.
Yeah, I think that had a lot to do with that, which is why this season was so short,
which
was
good.
The writer's strike.
Because I'm glad it ended when it did, because, like, if we were going to keep doing these 2.5 episodes, I was going to be... thrown in the towel, I think.
Aww.
But overall, like, Fun Run was fun. Well, you know what? That's another thing we didn't talk about. I think it was the first three or four episodes of the season were 40-minute shows.
Yeah.
And we had a problem with that because Goodbye Toby, I think we should mention, it was 42 minutes, but it was a breeze. Because stuff kept happening, and it was interesting, and it was comedy and story, and it was just really well done.
Yeah.
And they didn't, I don't think they took advantage of the time with, like, we talked about how they had the kind of just filler. Like, if they gave us 40 minutes, we got to fill it. And it wasn't like the good material. And I think those early episodes of the season that, because I mean, Fun Run was, we talked about was like,
I love Fun Run.
Well, that was a schizophrenic episode, though. Remember how they ended it in the middle and then restart it? So, like, I mean, that was a problem in the early episodes, I think, with some of them. Like, Launch Party had that issue as well. Mm-hmm. And, but overall, I was happy with it because I think stuff did move along. Like, we saw Jim and Pam as a couple, and that was, like, refreshing.
Yeah.
And it was
where
like
they were just
a
like
weight
a
was
normal
lifted
couple.
Off. Yeah,
yeah.
And it was good. And, the Michael stuff kind of annoyed me at times, but at other times I loved him.
Yeah.
The money episode in particular, I think, is a piece of art from the
I fucking loved that episode.
I think that episode is I probably should have given it a 5 in retrospect because I loved it that much. And, like, thinking about it now, I'm like, I don't know if the show's ever going to hit that crescendo of art. And, like, I really am using the term, and not facetiously. I really think it was, like, art, the way that episode covered that topic and the different characters in it.
Amazing.
And, like, I don't know. I hope we get more of, like, Money and Goodbye Toby and Night Out and stuff like that. Because I think more than anything, those episodes were fun. I think too often the show might take itself a little too seriously with stuff. And it loses the fun aspect. Do you know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying, but you're being very contradictory because...
I'm not taking it seriously. I'm watching it as someone who wants to laugh,
know,
but also be engrossed.
You said that they needed to take it more seriously with Dinner Party with the
domestic abuse. I said they needed to take it seriously or go the other direction. They needed to pick a lane.
And they went the opposite of serious.
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Are you going to tell me that there wasn't serious tones to it? Just because they added some absurd moments to it doesn't mean it wasn't a serious topic.
All right, but the serious topic of...
The cop showed up.
Drugs and Night Out.
That was more of... I see, I viewed that...
Dwight singing him to sleep.
I viewed that more as, like, think of, like, a movie like Animal House or Van Wilder and shit like that. Like, we're... Oh, what? When people go crazy and party and stuff like that?
I do not equate that to that.
No. No, I'm talking about the style, like, the way they introduce drug use as, like, recreational and, like...
What? I think you're giving Dwight me a look was right concerned now. Because he's like, you're going to the bathroom a lot.
Well, Dwight was, because sure okay? Dwight has no idea what is going on. Yeah. Dwight was just like, Dwight thought he had a bladder infection.
Yeah.
He wasn't concerned. But I just feel like overall, the show sometimes doesn't have that sense of fun. It kind of gets bogged down in the office minutia stuff. I'd like more fun, more free-flowing stuff where everyone is involved. That's why I love the conference room stuff so much. Mm-hmm. When everybody, like, there's that rapid-fire dialogue and stuff like that. Those are my favorite scenes. I love that shit. But overall, I mean, it was a good season. Yeah. It was better than average. It was fun. Yeah. It wasn't as good as season three. I think season three is going to be tough to top.
Yeah.
Season three was really, really good. But, I mean, season five, I'm looking forward to it in a way and not in another. Because it is this is the first season that I could say is, like, uncharted territory for me.
Ooh.
So, I mean, I am going into this with, like, naked eyes, if you will. And,
good.
I'm very excited for it in that way. But I'm also not excited that I feel like I'm going to get more of the same with the Jim and Pam stuff and Michael. Like, I'm kind of weary about that. I'm cautious.
We'll see.
So what do you got there? What is this?
Oh, I was just looking back at season three. We were both at 4.1.
Okay. So, yeah.
Season three. So, just slightly.
Slightly for you and half a point for me.
So. Yeah. But,
You got anything? Come on, talk.
No, I mean, like I said, I think this is one of my favorite seasons overall.
I'm not trashing it.
No, I know, but I also don't want to give you, because we finally have the opportunity where it is uncharted for you in season five, I don't want to give too much away.
Don't.
So, all I'm going to say about season five is what we're going to start off with next week. All
right.
Which is Weight Loss Part 1 and 2.
Oh, it's a two-parter.
It's a two-parter.
Are they 20 minutes?
No.
Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out next week. But anyway, guys, I guess that'll wrap up season four for us. We were both thumbs up on it, although I had my issues because I'm an asshole, I guess. But anyway, we'll be back next week with the beginning of season five for those episodes.
Yep.
And, you know, if you want to reach out to us, we are on Twitter at Brother Sister, oh, excuse me,
Brosis Podcast.
Brosis Podcast. And you can reach out to us on Gmail at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. We'll be happy to read your feedback on air, answer you there.
Yep.
Give you some notes. Now, if you want to tell me I'm a cantankerous jackass, I would be happy to hear that. But until next time, Maribor, you got anything to add?
Nope. Just thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. Please, if you do enjoy the show, share us around.
Oh, please share us around. Get us in. Listen. We would really appreciate that. We love the support. We love the listens. Help us out.
Thank you guys so much again, and see you next week.
We were at the table. Casting shadows, sun was pushing through. Spoke a lot of words, I don't know if I spoke the truth. Got so much to do, got so much to prove.